From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. A while ago, we brought you an episode called Deja Roe. It was the story of Planned Parenthood versus Casey, the Supreme Court case that was engineered in Pennsylvania to overturn Roe versus Wade. Casey didn't succeed in making abortion illegal, but it did allow for restrictions to be placed on abortions. Then this happened.
In Alabama, Governor Kay Ivey has signed into law the country's toughest anti-abortion law. It bans abortions except in cases of serious health risk to the woman. The law makes it a felony for doctors to perform abortions with a penalty of up to 99 years in prison.
Again, decades after many thought the issue of abortion had been decided in the United States, an abortion law has been passed that could ultimately overturn Roe. What exactly happened with Planned Parenthood versus Casey in the 90s? And why could the new abortion law in Alabama challenge Roe in ways that Casey couldn't? Today on The Why, Deja Roe all over again. First up, we'll hear our October interview with WESA reporter Lucy Perkins. Then we'll bring Lucy back into the studio to talk about the latest in Alabama. Lucy, it's the late 80s, nearly 20 years after Roe versus Wade, and Pennsylvania's governor was Bob Casey Sr., not to be confused with his son, who's the current senator. Bob Casey was a pro-life Democrat. He was a Catholic, a devout Catholic.
If we cannot be a country which guarantees equal rights to all of our people and protects life, what's left?
In 1989, he signed the Pennsylvania Abortion Control Act into law. What did it do?
State legislators in Pennsylvania, they came up with this legislation that put certain restrictions on abortions. So there were different provisions like doctors who were going to perform the abortions had to tell the patients medical side effects of getting this procedure. Women under the age of 18 had to get consent from their parents. There was a 24-hour waiting period between when the woman decided to have an abortion and when she could actually get one. And there was also one about spousal notification. So women who were interested in getting an abortion had to tell their husbands that they were going to do that.
And Lucy, you know, observers of this case sometimes refer to it as a test case or test legislation. The authors knew it would be challenged. So, you know, what was the strategy here?
Their intent, from the people I've talked to, specifically Sue Fritchie of the Women's Law Project, was to directly challenge what Roe versus Wade laid out.
The anti-abortion strategist's plan was to pass at the state level abortion restrictions that were inconsistent with Roe and so damaging to women that they knew that they'd be challenged in court.
By creating these provisions at the state level, eventually Pennsylvania would become the first state to get this type of case to the Supreme Court, and Roe would be overruled. Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania challenged then-Governor Casey, and they basically said that these five provisions of the Abortion Control Act directly went against Roe versus Wade.
And what did people in the sort of legal community, you know, think would happen when this case made its way all the way to the Supreme Court, which, you know, people thought it would?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to several members of the legal community, one of whom was Stephanie Dangle.
I'm executive director of the Innovation Practice Institute at University of Pittsburgh School of Law.
She was a clerk for Justice Blackmun at the time. Blackmun was the Supreme Court justice who authored the opinion for Roe versus Wade.
The medical profession itself is not in agreement as to when life begins.
Both she and other lawyers I talked to said that
at the time the case was argued, I think all of the justices on both sides were anticipating that Roe would be overturned.
Reproductive freedom is no more negotiable than slavery was negotiable.
Everybody I know who was waiting for that case to come down in 1992 thought that it was going to be the end of Roe versus Wade.
Justice Anthony Kennedy was on the court at the time, the now retired Justice Kennedy. What was his position on the court?
So in this case, Justice Kennedy was the swing vote. The anti-abortion side of the court was lobbying him heavily. And
we thought that Justice Kennedy was going to vote to overrule Roe.
And then kind of in the final days before this decision,
he very unexpectedly flipped and voted with a plurality of judges.
Her suffering is too intimate and personal for the state to insist without more upon its own vision of the woman's role, however dominant that vision has been in the course of our history and of our culture.
Justice Kennedy, O'Connor, and Souter, they decided amongst themselves that the essential ruling that a woman had a constitutional right to abortion would remain.
For these basic reasons, the essential judgment in Roe versus Wade was well within our constitutional heritage.
To a lot of people's surprise, Roe was not overruled.
We were in this position of, on the one hand, you know, being happy about the overall ruling of the case, and at the other hand,
with one exception, we uphold the other challenged provisions of the statute,
being disappointed that some of these particular restrictions would continue.
How exactly was the case decided?
In Planned Parenthood versus Casey, they used something called the undue burden standard or the undue burden test. And that said that restrictions on abortions were permitted as long as it didn't pose an undue burden to the woman who was interested in getting an abortion.
Under the standard we would adopt, so long as it does not place a substantial obstacle in the path of the woman's choice, throughout the woman's pregnancy, the state may enact measures designed to persuade the woman to choose childbirth over abortion.
So in these five provisions that we talked about in that Abortion Control Act from Pennsylvania, the court upheld four of them. The only provision in this Pennsylvania law, the Abortion Control Act, that the court felt was an undue burden was this provision, the spousal notification provision.
Today we hold that the requirement that a married woman inform her husband before she undergoes an abortion is invalid.
They worried that that would open up a window to issues of domestic violence and things like that.
What did this mean for Roe versus Wade? What did it mean for abortion rights?
You know, a lot of people will say that this case kind of carved out a lot of abortion rights and opened the doors for states to craft or create their own restrictions on abortion.
States continually are passing laws that they feel can restrict the right to abortion in a way that wouldn't happen if Roe was still the law of the land.
So because the court said, you know, this 24-hour waiting period was fine, people under the age of 18 have to tell their parents that they're going to get an abortion, the informed consent from your doctor, they said all of these things, all of these restrictions, they weren't an obstacle in the path of a woman trying to get an abortion.
The undue burden standard is obviously subjective. And so I think what's happened is that it's opened the door to states imposing a lot more restrictions than were permissible under Roe.
States across the country could really start creating their own types of legislation. And we've seen a lot of the provisions that were in this, you know, Abortion Control Act in Pennsylvania mirrored across the country. And of course, you know, since then, there have been even more types of restrictions.
Lucy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So since we spoke in October, a lot has happened around the country in terms of abortion restrictions. Six states, Ohio, Mississippi, Kentucky, Iowa, and North Dakota, have signed bills outlawing abortion after 6 weeks. A lot of women don't even know they're pregnant before 6 weeks. But the biggest restriction has been in Alabama. What's going on there?
Yeah, so the Alabama state legislature passed the most restrictive abortion law in the country. The governor signed it. It makes nearly all abortions illegal. It outlawed almost all abortions and would penalize doctors who perform abortions at any stage with up to 99 years in prison. This law makes no exception for victims of rape or incest. The only exception is when a mother's life is at serious risk.
Are opponents going to challenge this law?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Planned Parenthood will challenge this law. The ACLU has been very vocal on this as well. And that's kind of the point, actually. The legislature and anti-abortion advocates in Alabama and across the country are looking for a law like this one that will be challenged and will be taken to court and eventually work its way all the way up to the Supreme Court, with the hopes that that will get the Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade.
And if that happens, you know, what then? If Roe is overturned?
Yeah. So if Roe is overturned, that means that there will be no federal provision protecting abortion, and then abortion will be an issue that will be kicked back to the states. So there are a handful of states in the U.S. that have specific protections in place if Roe is overturned. There are a lot more states in the U.S. that have something called trigger laws, which are basically waiting for Roe to be overturned. If Roe is overturned, then abortion will be banned in those states.
And what about Pennsylvania? Where does the state stand?
Pennsylvania is a gray area. Pennsylvania doesn't have any protections in place if Roe is overturned, and the state also doesn't have anything in place that would ban abortion. There's nothing saying that it would become illegal, so it's a legal procedure until legislation is passed. And, of course, we have a Republican legislature and a governor that supports abortion rights, so you'd have to imagine that the governor, or at least Governor Wolf, would, you know, veto any anti-abortion legislation.
You know, as we spoke about, the last time that we spoke, there was a fear when Planned Parenthood versus Casey came before the Supreme Court that could be the case that overturns, abortion rights by overturning that portion of Roe versus Wade, which didn't end up happening. Why is this challenge different? Why might it be more likely to overturn Roe?
Right. I mean, well, the interesting similarity here is people thought that the court would overturn Roe with Planned Parenthood v. Casey because there was a majority of justices appointed by Republican presidents at that time. And of course, that's where the court is today as well, with Justice Kavanaugh being appointed by President Trump last fall. So this is a little bit different, just because the provisions that were being challenged in Planned Parenthood v. Casey were very specific. And this is a law that, you know, bans nearly all abortions in total. So you'd have to imagine that undue burden test would be something that they'd have to re-examine.
Lucy, thanks for talking to me again.
Thank you so much.
The Why is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene San. Tweet me @Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll be back tomorrow.